Welcome to All Saints Fordham and Atash Green. This is the podcast service for Sunday the 10th of May, 2020. My name is Francis Blight, and I'm glad that you've joined me today. The theme of this worship service is saving lives. I will be preaching and leading. The prayers will be led by a number of young people from our church family, and we look forward to a book review towards the end. The material that you'll need to participate in this service is on pages 2, 3 and 4 of the service sheet. So have that ready, printed out, or on a screen. Alongside this podcast, Ruth Reynolds has created a Sunday school video with accompanying printable resources. This bank holiday weekend, we are remembering and celebrating the 75th anniversary of victory in Europe when Nazi Germany signed an unconditional surrender. I'm going to begin with some recollections of V-Day from my mother, who was 12 years old at the time. She writes, "I well remember the feeling of overwhelming relief. No more fighting. No more lessons with four classes in an air raid shelter. No more bombs. No more rationing. And the joy that very day of no more blackout. The car would come out of the garage and we would be allowed to buy petrol to put in it again. I thought everything was going to go straight back to how it was before the war started. A few days earlier, we all knew that the war must be going to end soon. A school friend told me that her family were going to have a party on the day that it happened. We heard the great news of the German surrender on the radio. I hopped on my bike that evening, and what a splendid party it was. There was so much that I'd never seen before. Sweets in abundance. My family never had any. And quantities of delicious things to eat. There was the noise of fireworks. And outside lights were left on until long after dark. I don't remember how I got home that evening. I think it must have been in a car. But I do remember that I was so sick that I spent most of the next day in bed." VE Day recollections from my mother. On VE Day, King George VI gave a short speech on the radio in which he thanked Almighty God for the great deliverance. Nazi Germany had finally been overcome. So in the spirit of his speech, let's begin our time together with a prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty God, we come before you now with thanks for the victory of the Allied forces over the Nazi aggressors in 1945. Thank you for the freedom which we enjoy now because of the battles fought 75 years ago. We thank you for those who sacrificed their lives for our liberty. We look to you during our present national battle to defeat the coronavirus. And we ask that you will deliver us from it, saving many lives from the virus and saving many lives for eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's use our first song to focus our hearts and minds on God. The words are on page 2. Praise is rising.
Turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Yeah.
washed away.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we come seeking you. We turn to you now. You are the God who saves, and we praise you for that. We come seeking strength from you, fresh hope, that you would be with us and lead us in the difficulties of the lockdown with the threat of the COVID-19 virus. Please guide us, Father, and we give you our attention during this worship time together. Amen. Let's remember together Jesus' summary of the law. You can find the words on page 2 of the service sheet, including the response. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy and write these your laws in our hearts. We come to say sorry to God, confessing our sins. The words of the confession are printed on page 2. A moment of quiet for you to reflect and pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in the confession. We say together, O King enthroned on high, filling the earth with your glory, holy is your name, Lord God Almighty. In our sinfulness we cry to you to take away our guilt and to cleanse our lips to speak your word through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's message is entitled Saving Lives, the Pandemic and the Vaccine. For the last 6 weeks, the UK government has asked us to stay at home, to protect the NHS and to save lives. On page 4 of today's service sheet, you can see one of the versions of the graphic promoting these three instructions. We await an announcement this evening from Boris Johnson regarding how the government will begin to ease the lockdown. In this sermon for today, I want us to focus on the third of those three things, saving lives. And I've divided this talk up with four headings to guide you through. You can find them on page 4 of the service sheet. So firstly, saving lives, neighbour love, during the pandemic. Near the beginning of our service, we heard Jesus' top two commandments, love God and love your neighbour as yourself. At the present moment, staying at home and keeping a distance is a way to follow the Bible's love your neighbour command. The thing about COVID-19 is that many people show no symptoms at all when they catch it. Others experience a mild flu and a horrible cough, but quite quickly they get better. But for some, the virus takes hold, overwhelming the immune system. Social distancing enables people who really need the hospital beds and ventilators to be helped. Staying at home and keeping a distance saves lives. In the graphic on the service sheet, there is a heart shape next to save lives. Now, we don't like to be restricted in what we can do. Staying at home and closing the schools creates personal difficulties and pressures. But the heart shape is there because staying at home is a way to slow the spread of the virus. This in turn reduces the pressure on the NHS. It's a way of loving others at this time and contributing to the saving of lives. That's why there's a heart there. So love your neighbour by staying at home and following the government's directions. Secondly, saving lives, a bigger pandemic. Pretty much everything at the moment is about the coronavirus. Well, my sons still watch endless videos about Minecraft on YouTube, but pretty much everything on the BBC News that I listen to is about COVID-19. Coronavirus is the main story. Now, the world is, of course, full of many problems, and they haven't just gone away. They don't just disappear. It's just they aren't the main focus at the moment. The Bible tells us that there is another pandemic from which we need saving. And it was here before COVID-19 broke out. In fact, the Bible teaches that it's been a problem from the beginning of the human race. The Bible calls this other pandemic sin. And the sin pandemic is also a killer. We could say that sin is like a virus, but a virus comes from outside you and infects you. Yes, other people do influence us to sin, but sin is also a disease that comes from within us, from the centre of our own consciousness and personality. We don't just catch it off other people. Let me briefly explain sin to you and why it's a problem of pandemic proportions. Jesus' top commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. That's a way of saying that God wants us to love and honour him with all of who we are, every part of us. It's quite right that God should expect this of us because he's the creator of the universe. This world is his. You and I are his creation. And we should put him first in our lives, seeking to live his way as described in the Bible. The reason that sin is an epidemic is because living God's way doesn't come naturally to humans. The famous Ten Commandments given to Moses and the Israelites after God rescued them from the slavery of Egypt will help you to understand what sin is. We sin when we worship an image of a pretend God. We sin when we misuse God's name in our speaking. We sin when we don't honour our mother and our father. We sin when we murder or when we steal. When we commit adultery, which is stealing another person's husband or wife. When we lie about what someone else did or didn't do. And when we want to take for ourselves a thing that belongs to someone else, maybe a friend or a neighbour or someone we know from work or school. The Ten Commandments show us how sinful thoughts and words and actions bubble up from inside us, from the centre of us, our heart and will. Sin isn't just an alien invader that comes into us. It's like we have a sin workshop right at the centre of our personalities. The machinery and the moulds, the conveyor belts are busy shaping and forming new sins, thoughts and words and deeds day after day. Now, I understand that you probably don't like to think about this kind of thing. Most people want to be commended for the good things they have done. But unless we understand sin and understand that it's a problem for us personally, we won't grasp the wonder of God's vaccine. Sin is a bigger pandemic than COVID-19 because God is good and just. Our sins alienate us from God and bring us under his good justice. Sin is a problem for us because God will bring his justice to bear upon us, not just other people who do wrong things, but the wrong things inside you and me. COVID-19 is the big story at the moment, But sin remains a bigger pandemic, just as it has been throughout history. The good news is that a vaccine for sin has already been made. And even more wonderfully, it's God who created the vaccine. Church buildings stand in every city and town and village up and down this country. They've been here for hundreds of years. And they are centres where the prescription for the sin vaccine can be found. Christian ministers are, if you like, soul doctors who explain the medicine that saves lives. And I'm going to do that for you now. In last Sunday's podcast, we read about the first church in Jerusalem devoting themselves to the teaching of Jesus's apostles. That's his first messengers. We're going to do that now as we look at two short bits of teaching from one of Jesus's apostles called John. They're printed on page 4 of the service sheet. As we consider these Bible passages, my aim is to show you God's loving purpose and his vaccine for the sin pandemic. So firstly, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. See if you can spot what God's loving aim is. Sam Carbonero is going to read the scripture passage for us.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
These verses show us that God's loving purpose is to save lives for eternal life. Wonderfully, John explains here that God loves his world. He demonstrated his love by doing something, and I wonder if he spotted it. He sent his Son. John's talking about God's Son becoming a human in the person of Jesus. Jesus is a sign to us that God loves humanity. And in verse 17, we see the reason why God sent his Son. It was to save the world. God sent Jesus to save lives. That was his mission. Now, Jesus' miracles showed his power to save lives. He saved from disability, giving sight instantly to a man born blind. He saved from hunger, feeding a huge crowd of 5,000 from the contents of a packed lunch. He saved from terrible illnesses like leprosy. But we see in this verse that God had a bigger purpose, an even more important purpose for his Son than these good things. God's loving purpose was to save people for eternal life. That is, life after this life. Jesus' own return to life from the burial tomb is evidence for us that death is not the end. There is more. And God's loving purpose is that we should enter into all the fullness of the next life, all the fullness that the Bible promises. Really, God's purpose is for us to be in a right relationship with him, a happy and healthy relationship. But the sin pandemic is a barrier to this. Jesus repeatedly warned about the reality of hell and spoke in Luke chapter 12, verse 5, of God's authority to throw people into hell. Jesus said, "Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell." He's talking about his heavenly Father. This is a stark bit of teaching. And with good reason, Jesus warns us to fear the God who can do this. This is what John calls perishing in chapter 3, verse 16 of today's Bible passage. COVID-19 is a big and serious problem, but I hope you can see that the sin pandemic really is a bigger problem that we should take seriously. We pray that a coronavirus vaccine will soon be formulated and mass-produced. But every life that's saved by that vaccine will still die one day. We will die of something. And if we make it through this pandemic, something else will kill us in the end. That's just life. But hell isn't what God wants for us. No, God's loving purpose is to save you from perishing for eternal life. So for my final point, let's look at God's vaccine, his cure for the sin pandemic. As Sam reads 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, see if you can spot God's sin vaccine.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Did you notice, as Sam read, how similar these verses were to the first ones from John's Gospel chapter 3? Both written by the same apostle, both talking about God demonstrating his love by sending his precious Son. But 1 John 4 gives us extra understanding of how God saved the world. 1 John 4 shows us God's vaccine for the sin pandemic. Did you spot it? It's there in verse 10. God loved us by sending his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God's loving purpose was achieved by Jesus being an atoning sacrifice. So my fourth and final point for today is God's vaccine for sin. What we see here is that Jesus is the vaccine. The person of Jesus is the medicine that cures our sin. God has provided a vaccine for the sin pandemic. He didn't just leave humanity to work it out for themselves. No, he provided the cure in the person of his Son. To understand the cure, we need to understand what an atoning sacrifice is. And we don't use the word atoning much these days. So let me explain it to you, and its sister word, atonement. Atoning and atonement are about the restoration of a relationship that's been damaged. Imagine that someone steals something from you, something that's very important to you. You can't find it, you're searching for it. You know someone must have taken it. Perhaps it's your notebook or diary where you write your private thoughts and ideas. You don't want anyone to read those things. It's a precious book for you. And then you discover that a particular friend has taken it and read it. Your friendship is damaged. How will the relationship be put right? Well, that's what atonement is about. Putting a relationship right. Breaking it down into three words helps us to understand. At one meant. Atonement is about reuniting two people where an offence or crime has broken the relationship, bringing them back together, back as one, at one meant. Another word to describe this is reconciliation. So how would atonement and reconciliation happen with your friend who's stolen the notebook? Well, returning it to start with would be important, with an apology, admitting it, saying sorry. If the notebook had been damaged or destroyed, buying a replacement, those sorts of things. Now, the verse tells us that God sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This means that Jesus resolves the sin pandemic that alienates humans from God. Before God sent Jesus, the temple in Jerusalem was the place for atoning sacrifices. The Israelites would bring animals for the priest to sacrifice on the altar in the temple. Through the death of the animal, they would atone for their sins. The atoning sacrifice of an animal paid for their sins and restored the relationship with God. The sacrifice put things right between the Israelite and his family and God. This practice went on for hundreds of years, until in AD 70, about 30 years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension to heaven, the Roman government destroyed Jerusalem, including the temple. The temple's never been rebuilt since then, so no Jewish animal sacrifices have been offered in the Jerusalem temple for nearly 2,000 years. But the annual Day of Atonement is still the holiest day of the Jewish year, when Jewish people ask for the forgiveness of their sins. The day is called Yom Kippur in Jewish culture, and this year it will be on the 27th and 28th of September. So in the Jerusalem temple, animals were used as atoning sacrifices. But how does this relate to Jesus, God's Son? Well, John says that God sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice. John's writing about when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross was an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Every human sins, that's why it's a pandemic. Now, the normal way that atonement works is for the person who's done the wrong thing to do something to restore the relationship. They make atonement. In Israelite and Jewish culture before Jesus came, the worshipper would bring an animal to the temple for the priest to offer as a sacrifice. But the amazing thing here is that John tells us that God sent the sacrifice. He offered the sacrifice, and it was the most precious thing that he could give. You see, God owns the whole universe, many planets. He owns all the oceans and mountains on planet Earth. They all belong to God. But he only has one son. God sent that one son to atone for your sins and mine. And this is why the cross is such a precious symbol. You see it on churches, on the Lord's table inside the church, on the cover of a Bible. I've just seen it a few hours ago around someone's neck on a necklace, a beautiful gold cross. On the lockdown graphic on page 4 of the service sheet, there's a heart, I mentioned it earlier, a heart next to the words, save lives. If you like, you can draw a cross in that heart. This is because in Jesus' death on the cross, God showed his love for us. The cross is a symbol of love. Cross equals love. Listen to 1 John 4, verse 9 again. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son. Verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. So how do we receive the vaccine of Jesus' atonement? The simple answer is there in John chapter 3, verse 16. Have a look at that if you've got the service sheet in front of you. Whoever believes in God's Son Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. You need to believe in Jesus. God's vaccine for sin is Jesus Christ, and we receive the vaccine by believing in Jesus as our atoning sacrifice. Believe in him as God's vaccine for you. God's provided the atonement to put your relationship right with him. And in this, he shows his love for us. At Ground Zero, this is what church is about. A restored relationship with God through believing in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Our next song celebrates this and helps us to praise God for the wonderful gift of his Saviour Son. The lyrics are printed on page 3 of the service sheet. Hallelujah, what a Saviour.
Atoning sacrifice, keeper of this life.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. He is our atoning sacrifice, our joy, and our salvation. Amen. Let's affirm our faith together using the words on page 2. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the Church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For today's prayers, a number of children and young people in our church will be leading us, bringing different requests to God. Our thanks go to Jeanette Miller for organising and coordinating them. So let's pray together with Grace, Tom and Sam, Io, Chelsea, Rebecca and Alice, Tom and Zoe, Ellie and Elisha. At the end, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together from page 2.
Father God, we trust you are working in and through this situation. You are with us in whatever we are going through. We pray for the government and world leaders as they seek to manage this situation as effectively as possible. Please help them to make good decisions, and thank you for the expert advisors that are working away behind the scenes. Please help us to find your peace and help us to share this peace with others. Amen.
Dear God, we thank you for our homes and for our families. We pray for those who are homeless, people on their own, those who are lonely, and anyone who is struggling at this time. Please help them to know that they are loved, and we pray that as a church we can serve our community and love our neighbours as ourselves. Amen.
Dear God, we give thanks for all those working within the NHS. We ask you that you give them strength to tackle the virus and that they would have everything that they need to help them do their jobs well. We also pray for the key workers, shop workers, and the teachers and their families. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your mercy, compassion, favour and your love over us. God, we thank you for your protection upon all families, countries and all creatures. O Lord, forgive us all our sins and iniquity before you. Lord Jesus, you grew up like us. Please help us as we study at home and be with those facing exams, that they may put their trust in you to help them through. O Lord, we pray for our country, United Kingdom. Please, in your mercy, heal our land and deliver our land from coronavirus and sudden deaths. Lord, in your mercy, help our NHS staff and our government to overcome the problem and the situation we are facing now, and give them total victory, peace and comfort to win the race. O Lord, in your mercy, let there be peace and comfort in the whole world. O Lord, at this time, help and uphold your church. Empower Reverend Francis and all family members in the church. O Lord, let all glory be given to you in heaven and on earth. Let your glory, mercy and grace be sufficient for us. For in the name Jesus, our God and Saviour, we prayed. Amen.
Dear God, we pray for the scientists working on discovering a vaccine for the COVID-19 virus. We pray that you will give Boris Johnson and the government wisdom as to how to ease lockdown and will help us all to still be sensible in social distancing. And we finally pray for people who have been affected by the virus in any way, and we thank all the key workers doing their jobs during this difficult time. Amen.
Dear God, thank you for protecting us during lockdown. I pray for our church family to trust in you to help us get through this situation. Amen.
Dear God, thank you for the sunshine. I pray that the doctors and nurses will carry on helping people to get better from the virus. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray that the people in Fordham and near Tashkreen would be kept safe from the coronavirus, but that they would also see that sin is an even bigger pandemic. I pray that people would turn to you so that they can be saved eternally. Amen.
Heavenly Father, please help all the grandpas and grandmas and all the people in care homes to stay safe from the coronavirus. Please help all the elderly people to have enough food and medicine. Please remind them each day that you love them and care for them. Amen.
Lord God, we thank you for your faithfulness over the church family. We pray for the families all over the world that are going through challenging situations. Lord, please provide for them, guide them, and give them your peace.
Dear Lord, thank you for keeping our families and friends safe in these challenging times. Thank you for the special times we are spending with our mummies, daddies, brothers, or sisters. Amen.
We finish our prayers by saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Some church family news as we come to the end of this podcast service. Firstly, a book review from Alireza Ghazi Torbati.
The world is feeling increasing vulnerability because of coronavirus, and everyone is looking for hope. As a resource, John Lennox has written a short book called Where is God in a Coronavirus World, which I'm reviewing today. The book deals with suffering, whether the atheistic worldview can bring hope, and how it is actually Jesus who can bring us peace. There's a lot of good stuff in the book, thinking about the nature of evil and what that means for us. Lennox writes that the reason atheism cannot help is that it rejects God and by extension rejects the idea of good and evil. As Fyodor Dostoevsky said, if God does not exist, everything is permissible. This view of rejecting morality does not give us hope. The word corona means crown in Latin. Lennox said that the virus was given this name because it had a crown-like shape. A quote from the book I found powerful was, "Hope comes from another corona, the crown of thorns that was forced on Jesus' head at his trial before his execution. We know his death was not the end of the story. In fact, he resurrected and defeated death." Listen to the Good Friday lockdown podcast for a reminder of what that means for us. The most important question Lennox asks is whether we will trust Jesus to give peace among this pandemic. During the lockdown, maybe it is time to think about this question and others to do with Christianity. I would recommend this book to everyone, whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ as your Saviour. The book is not long, you could probably read it in just over an hour. If you're a Christian, it will bring you more hope and remind you of what the Bible says about suffering. If you are not, then it will help you think about some of the most common questions on people's minds about this pandemic. However, you will probably need more than just this book to answer all the questions you have. You can find out more by participating in the Christianity Explored course we're running, which begins on Wednesday, 20th of May. The first week will be an opportunity to engage with how Lennox thought about this subject. Further details and registration are on the church website. I hope the book is useful if you choose to read it. You can buy it from the Good Book Company online, either as a paperback or a digital copy. And I think that when you order the book as a physical copy, you also receive access to a free audio recording of the book. Have a good day, everyone, and I really hope that you enjoy reading the book, if you do.
Thank you for that review, Ali. The coronavirus raises many questions for us, personally and for our friends. This Thursday evening, I'll be leading an online discussion group for our church family. We'll watch an interview with John Lennox and use this as a stimulus for our own discussion and questions. Further details are on the service sheet. A Zoom link and password will be emailed out in a couple of days' time. This Tuesday evening, the care team are meeting on Zoom from 8 p.m. And on Sunday, the growth group leaders will be meeting from 6 p.m. The process for appointing the next bishop of our diocese is beginning. A link to details of how our church can contribute to the selection process is on page 5 of the service sheet. Please pray for a godly man to be appointed, someone who will hold to the biblical gospel and also to biblical ethics. Pray for a man who will encourage us in living faithfully for Christ. Our next Christianity Explored course begins online in 10 days' time, starting on Wednesday the 20th of May at 7:30 p.m. If today's sermon connected with you and you want to know more about Christianity, this would be a great place to start. The course enables you to investigate the life and teachings of Jesus Christ as found in Mark's Gospel. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we've added an extra week at the beginning, focusing on questions about God in relation to the coronavirus. Details are on the service sheet, and you can find out how to register through the church website. I want to encourage you to support the Colchester Food Bank at this time. They are 3 times busier than normal at the moment, the busiest they've ever been. There's a two-page article in today's service sheet giving full details of how you can be involved and what they need at the moment. And I look forward to seeing many of you at the post-podcast coffee time on Zoom, beginning at 11:30 a.m. this morning. This week's closing blessing comes in the form of a song recorded by members of 65 UK churches. It was released on YouTube last Sunday. The lyrics are in the service sheet with a link to the video. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to focus our hearts and minds on you. We thank you for the good news of your gospel, which saves lives from the sin pandemic. Thank you that in Jesus Christ you bless us and our families. Thank you that in giving him to us, you show us your grace and your favour. Lead us this week to faithfully love and serve in all that we do. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you.
Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you
and give you peace. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you
and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
Manna rained down from heaven. This isn't second guessing. We know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations
and your family and your children
and the children and the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations. Children, and their children, and their children.